Hello and welcome. Thank you for joining us again today. This is your host, Brother T. Glad to be back with you. And I am here with my beautiful wife, Reverend A. Good morning.
Good morning.
So glad to see you here.
So happy to be here.
Today we're going to be discussing Lesson 72. We're going to read the lesson and then have some discussion. Before we begin, let's join together for a brief moment of silence. Let's take a good deep breath. Holding grievances is an attack on God's plan for salvation.
While we have recognized that the ego's plan for salvation is the opposite of God's, we have not yet emphasized that it is an active attack on God's plan and a deliberate attempt to destroy it. In the attack, God is assigned the attributes which are actually associated with the ego, while the ego appears to take on the attributes of God.
The ego's fundamental wish is to replace God. In fact, the ego is the physical embodiment of this wish. For it is this wish which seems to surround the mind with a body, keeping it separate and alone and unable to reach other minds except through the body, which was made to imprison it. The limit on communication cannot be the best means to expand communication, yet the ego would have you believe that it is.
Although the attempt to keep the limitations which a body would impose is obvious here, it is perhaps not so apparent why holding grievances is an attack on God's plan for salvation. But let us consider the kinds of things which you are apt to hold grievances for. Are they not always associated with something a body does? A person says something we do not like. They do something that displeases us. They betray his hostile thoughts and his behavior.
We're not dealing here with what the person is. On the contrary, we are exclusively concerned with what he does in a body. We're doing more than failing to help in freeing him from his limitations. We are actively trying to hold him to it by confusing it with him and judging them as one. Herein is God's attack. For if his son is only a body, so must he be as well. A creator wholly unlike his creation is inconceivable.
If God is a body, what must God's plan for salvation be? What could it be but death? In trying to present God as the author of life and not death, God is a liar and a deceiver, full of false promises and suffering illusions in place of truth.
The body's apparent reality makes this view of God quite convincing. In fact, if the body were real, it would be difficult indeed to escape this conclusion. And every grievance that you hold insists that the body is real. It overlooks entirely what your brother is. It reinforces your belief that he is a body and condemns him for it. And it asserts that his salvation must be death, projecting this attack onto God and holding him responsible for it.
To this carefully prepared arena where angry animals seek for prey and mercy cannot enter, the ego comes to save you. God made a body. Very well, let us accept this and be glad. As a body, do not let yourself be deprived of what the body offers. Take the little you can get. God gave you nothing. The body is your only savior. It is the death of God and your salvation.
This is a universal belief of the world that you see. Some hate the body and try to hurt and humiliate it. Others love the body and try to glorify and exalt it. But while it stands at the center of your concept of yourself, you are attacking God's plan for salvation and holding your grievances against him and his creation, that you may not hear his voice, the voice of truth, and welcome it as friend. Your chosen Savior takes his place instead. It is your friend. He is your enemy.
We will try today to stop these senseless attacks on salvation. We will try to welcome it instead. Your upside-down perception has been ruinous to your peace of mind. You have seen yourself in a body and the truth outside you, locked away from your awareness by the body's limitations. Now we are going to try to see this differently.
The light of truth is in us, where it was placed by God. It is the body that is outside us and is not our concern. To be without a body is to be in our natural state. To recognize the light of truth in us is to recognize ourselves as we are. To see ourselves as separate from the body is to end the attack on God's plan for salvation and to accept it instead. And wherever his plan is accepted, it is accomplished already.
Our goal in the longer practice periods today is to become aware that God's plan for salvation has already been accomplished in us. To achieve this goal, we must replace attack with acceptance. As long as we attack it, we cannot understand what God's plan for us is. We are therefore attacking what we do not recognize. Now we are going to try to lay judgment aside and ask what God's plan for us is. What is salvation, God? I do not know. Tell me that I may understand. Then we will wait in quiet for God's answer.
We've attacked God's plan for salvation without waiting to hear what it is. We have shouted our grievances so loudly that we have not listened to his voice. We have used our grievances to close our eyes and stop our ears. Now we would see and hear and learn. What is salvation, Father? Ask and you will be answered. Seek and you will find.
We are no longer asking the ego what salvation is and where to find it. We are asking it of truth. Be certain then that the answer will be true because of whom you ask. Whenever you feel your confidence wane and your hope of success flicker and go out, repeat your question and your request, remembering that you are asking them of the infinite creator of infinity, who created you like itself. What is salvation, Father? I do not know. Tell me that I may understand. He will answer, be determined to hear.
One or perhaps two shorter practice periods, an hour, would be enough for today, since they will be somewhat longer than usual. These exercises begin with this. Holding grievances is an attack on God's plan for salvation. Let me accept it instead. What is salvation, Father? Then wait a minute or so in silence, preferably with your eyes closed, and listen for his answer. Holding grievances is an attack on God's plan for salvation. And so it is. Again, let's join together for a moment of silence. You know, it's been said that by the time course students, and I think it was some work that Dr. David Hawkins did in kinesiology, and it was a group of course students that began, that I think they were all, you know, had no experience with A Course in Miracles, and they were reading them there with muscle testing or whatever. They were reading their level of consciousness, getting verification of conscious levels. And it was an interesting experiment because by the time they got to lesson 75 and got through the first 75 lessons, there was a shift in their consciousness. We can't say, we can't even begin to argue at all that these truths, these concepts, these things that we've been studying for the last 72 days are not pretty radical and just fly in the face of everything that we experience, but we can begin to see how flimsy that veil is, really, that the ego, if you're really beginning to grasp what Jesus is teaching us just through these first 70 soul lessons, you can begin to see that the game that's afoot that the ego is playing in keeping us distracted, in keeping us deluded, and keeping us focused on the body, and keeping us focused on the self as the center of the universe, right? And maybe God's out there, but I've got to deal with my crap, what's going on in my life today, et cetera, et cetera. And this gentle nurturing of truth is, this point is bringing us to the point of dialogue, where we really are having conversation, you know. And of course, it's been said that, you know, really good communicators are really good listeners, you know. And I've seen examples or heard stories of examples of somebody that they met somebody and they never actually said anything. And that person's like, oh, that person's the greatest person, blah, blah. He said, well, I never even really said anything because they were talking the whole time, right? Mm-hmm. Because why did they think they were a great person? Because they were just listening. Mm-hmm. And I personally, for me, that's been one of the toughest challenges in this journey. Because my mind, my ego mind, wants to chatter, chatter, chatter and fill in all the blanks and answer all the questions and distract me with images and stories and narratives from the past and projections of the future, and does its best to keep me away from this moment, this now moment, being present. But I find that after we've continued this work, and if you're getting this and it's all making great sense to you and you're happy with everything by the time you get to this lesson, congratulations. I wasn't. I was becoming very unsettled when I first went through this work, especially in that first year, because it seemed to turn, you know, upside down apple cart, you know. Everything was upside down, and then I was starting to look at the world in new ways and question a lot of my beliefs and question a lot of my experiences and the way I had acted and who I had presented myself to be in the world and mm-hmm. my personal goals and my relationships and my relationship with money. I mean, everything comes into question mm-hmm. and it was unsettling. And it still, you know, sometimes I have to check myself because those are patterns that I had developed over mm-hmm. decades. Mm-hmm. That's just in this lifetime. And, you know, there's possibility, let's say, that, you know, there's more than one incarnation to get mm-hmm. through this and to begin to realize who we are and wake up in this experience. So all that to say that by the time we get here, I love that we're finally giving emphasis to that dialogue, that we're beginning to really have those conversations. And then we begin to be that voice. We begin to express as that voice. And you say, well, are you saying we're expressing as God? Well, you're expressing as an aspect of God, yes. But at this point, in the dream of illusion, God's not in the dream, so to speak. His voice, and he keeps referring to it as his voice. And of course, he's referring to the Holy Spirit. And again, in the Holy Spirit is nothing more than your right mind. We are all joined as one mind. So here we're really beginning to, I believe, recognize that we have the ability to have an internal dialogue with the voice of love, the voice of wisdom. And here he says, capital F, friend. Mm. And I think it's so wonderful to begin to see that that is my right mind. It's approachable. It is me. It's within my heart, the center of my being. And all I need to do is to take that good deep breath, to be present, mm-hmm. to remember to be present and to stay in that dialogue throughout the day. Mm. So he's pointing us to today to spend 6 or 7 times an hour mm-hmm. to just remember the lesson mm-hmm. and go into it. You know, what is salvation? Mm-hmm. And whether you speak of this inner dialogue, you know, you can refer to it if you're saying Father is uncomfortable, you know, whatever, universal consciousness, Jesus, source of all that is, you know, Mother. It doesn't matter. The voice of wisdom and the center of your being is nothing more than your right mind. And it's your capital F friend, capital T teacher, capital G guide, capital D divinity, capital I identity. And the more we begin to meld and merge with that voice, and by the time we get to lesson 70 and beyond, we're really, really beginning to have internal conversation that is ongoing. Mm. And that's the attempt, is to do it more repeatedly through the hour, is to keep it fresh in our mind. Mm-hmm. So I think this lesson is worth reading several times because he really points out and helps us to get clear now about the ego's continuous agenda is to hold a grievance. Its continuous agenda is to judge. Its continuous distraction is to think, rather than to listen.
And that is an attack on God's plan.
It is indeed.
Yeah. Yeah. And to really elevate it to what it is. Mm-hmm. It's like the in yesterday's lesson, we're really asked to not only accept God's plan, but to understand and to release all that all others will fail and to release those, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, here we are elevating it, you know, the truth is that a grievance is an attack. And a grievance is an attack on God's plan for salvation, period. And I think that, well, nobody wants to be attacking. Like when we actually call it what it is, sometimes we might bristle, you know, no, I'm just having a conversation. No, I'm just connecting. One of the things that came up as you were talking was the news media. Mm. So that is an outpicturing a manifestation of a thought system. And it's a thought system that we accept. And it doesn't matter what side you are on. If what you are hearing is an attack, then or a grievance, it actually, what we see are attacks. And we hear them as attacks. If we can back up enough to just be a neutral observer of what is happening and be really truthful. And so I think that we're so mired in the cancel culture and the attack culture that we don't really see and realize, because we're fighting for justice, we're fighting for right, that what we're really doing is we are perpetuating the ego's plan for salvation, but and attacking God's plan for salvation. It's that's a really great illustration. The other piece of this is another thing that kind of came up. I was having a conversation with a friend who is going to be starting ministerial school, and one of the requirements is to take a psychological test. And one of the questions is, do you hear voices? And they are told, when you get to that question, know that we're not speaking about your relationship with God or spirit. We're not talking about the voice of God, because somebody like us might say, sure, I hear voices. I hear the voice for God. And you answer that question, and it might be marked against you because it's a psychological test, and it would indicate perhaps that you have a mental illness or you're crazy. And so, you know, here we are, you know, we're talking about the voice for God. We're talking about listening for the voice of God. And we're asking the question, and we are informed by the questions that we ask. So when we ask a question, we can expect a response. You know, seek and you do find in this thought system. Knock and the door is opened for you. So the question is a powerful question. It's a question that its approach is one of humility. I do not know. You know, what is salvation? Tell me that I may understand, and listen for that voice and be determined to hear that voice. And that voice is the voice of sanity and certainty and love and integrity. And so that's the voice that we do indeed listen to, and we wait in the quietude for the answer. It's really beautiful practice. And I'm very grateful to be at this point. I appreciate that you acknowledge what it's like, you know, the first year. And I was like trying to think back to the first time when I went through the lessons. And I'm fairly certain I made several attempts before I got all the way through. And I would make it to around here and stop. So I think it's really interesting what David Hawkins' study showed, like around lesson 45. I know I...
75.
I know that I had many attempts that were aborted, you know, to yeah. do, because I also wanted to do it perfectly, and I wanted to do one a day. And if I didn't, if I wasn't on the exact day of the year, you know, sequentially, then I was like, oh, I messed it up. You know, all of the crazy ways that I kept myself from this teaching. And so I appreciate that you said that. I know I was arguing with it quite a bit. It wasn't like butter for me at all. It was, you know, it was challenging. And yet today now, truth is true always. And I still find truth in this, and I still find ways to refine my experience of this coursework. And I feel really grateful for it. And every time I see something new. And so, you know that that is how it will unfold for you. If this is your pathway, that it will continuously reveal itself to you. But today's lesson is to say what is so about the upside down plan, the upsetting of the apple cart, the reversal of the thought system. And then in that allowing, you know, I think of the cartoon where the cat, you know, or the animal gets struck by like over the head with something, and they see stars and they start walking in circles, you know. Some of us might be feeling that way, a little disoriented right now. And that's okay, because we get to say, you know what? What is the truth, Father, Mother, God? What is salvation, Creator? Tell me, because I don't know, but tell me that I may understand. Seek to understand rather than to be understood. The ego is always seeking to be understood. No, you must hear me out. No, no, you must be silent so that I may hear, so that I may understand.
Beautiful. No, I'm loving it. I'm loving it. Again, I think this lesson is worth reading. Certainly a couple of times today as we go through it.
And listening to it.
And listening.
Listening to this as you're driving, as you're, you know, just keep hearing it over and over again. I mean, that's the beauty of an audio version as well.
Yeah. You can take it with you. I actually recorded all of these.
Did you?
In the first year, well, it took me almost 2 years to get through them, but I actually recorded each one and didn't make any comment afterwards. And I typed each one of them up and put them out on the internet so that people could go and subscribe to it. And then they would get, but I set them up to come out every other day, because for me, I needed that additional time, you know? So it took me 2 years. It took me more than 2 years to just to do that, to type them up and then set them up, you know, to come out every other day. But I just think it's, and he tells us that in, you know, when he, in the instructions, when you're getting started, you know, don't, because it's not about, you know, ego's like so serious. And I think your story is very instructive, because, you know, the ego will use whatever means it can to say, okay, you missed it, so you might as well give up.
And I had to wait till January 1st of the following year.
Yeah, you wait another year before you. So great conversation. And I think that hopefully that's encouraging to anyone that's listening at this point. You know, stay the course. That's the reason we say stay the course at the end of each of our you know, episodes, because we need, you know, it's almost like my daughter does these marathons, and, you know, it's like, people lined up on the street and they're going, stay the, you know, keep it up, you know, that we need encouragement, you know, because it does get tough, and the mind wants to resist this training, because this is a complete reversal of what that mind is attempting to train us to accept. And with this instruction in hand, we can begin to break free. So it's very important to stay the course. And with that said, we love you, Mighty Companion. God bless you. Holding grievances is an attack on God's plan for salvation. Stay the course.
Forgive us our illusions, Father, and help us to accept our true relationship with you, in which there are no illusions, and where none can ever enter. Our holiness is yours. What can there be in us that needs forgiveness when yours is perfect? The sleep of forgetfulness is only the unwillingness to remember your forgiveness and your love. Let us not wander into temptation, for the temptation of the Son of God is not your will. And let us receive only what you have given, and accept but this into the minds which you created and which you love. Amen.
I send my love over the mountains. I send my love over the sea. I send